The rest of the story. In the early 19th century, one name struck terror in the hearts of all Chinese. The name was Qing. Particularly fearful were those living along seacoasts and riversides, for Qing was a ruthless pirate, and more, the admiral of what must have been one of the largest pirate fleets in all history. The forces of this malevolent and mighty Qing included 800 large pirate ships, almost 1,000 smaller ones, 6 full squadrons. The service of some 70,000 pirates was required to keep that fleet afloat. New crew members were recruited from among Qing's captives. One option for the able-bodied prisoner was to become a pirate, and the other option was slow death. And there were no other options. Living conditions aboard Qing's pirate ships were dreadful at best. Each pirate was permitted a wife and a family, which he stored neatly in his own cubicle, which was 4 feet square. Rats, the scourge of other ships, were actually encouraged to breed aboard Qing's. You see, vermin were a primary source of food for the pirates when they ran out of caterpillars. The pirates' leisure hours were spent gambling and smoking opium, which seemed to keep them out of trouble. And they did not want trouble. The wrath of their chieftain Qing was too terrible to risk. Punishable offenses included going ashore without leave. The first time, an offender's ears were perforated. The second time, everything else was perforated. Also, captive women could not be raped or otherwise abused without permission from the ship's purser. And, predictably, the pocketing of plunder privately was prohibited. They caught you doing that, you ate the cannonball. On various occasions, the Imperial Chinese Navy was sent out to destroy Qing's pirate fleet. Each mission proved an embarrassment to the government. The first time, in 1808, Qing concealed most of the fleet behind a long peninsular cliff and then sailed a handful of decoys out into the open sea. When the Imperial Navy attacked the decoy ships, the main squadrons emerged from hiding and pounced from behind. That battle raged from early in the morning until late in the evening, after which one could almost have walked across the ocean on floating corpses. Upon surrender, the Imperial Admiral committed suicide on the deck of Qing's vessel. And when at last it became apparent that Qing's cutthroats were unconquerable, the government made the outlaws an offer. Amnesty, government appointments, and cash prizes for any and all who would come home and go straight. Qing personally negotiated the best possible deal, and all of the many thousands, save a few incorrigibles, abandoned piracy to retire in luxury. And so ends happily the true tale of Qing the pirate. Why the once bloodthirsty Qing even settled down and reared a family of 4 children, became, so some say, a model mother. I don't think I mentioned that Qing, the ruthless pirate, who commanded a force of 70,000 seafaring outlaws, mighty Qing, the terror of the China coast, was Madame Qing, a pirate captain's widow who inherited the business from her husband and expanded it. And now you know the rest of the story.